I first of all like to welcome to our program Terry K. Rockefeller. She's a documentary filmmaker who joined the group September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrow soon after her sister died in the 9/11 terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. Terry lives in Arlington, Massachusetts, very close to Boston, and I'm very happy you could join us tonight to discuss a lot of these very difficult issues. Terry, thank you.
Well, Scott, thank you for inviting me, and I just want to start by offering my deepest condolences to all the families whose loved ones were killed and those who are injured and still struggling to recover. It's been a very difficult week, and certainly for me it recalled parts of, you know, my immediate experience after 9/11 when my sister was killed. She was in the World Trade Center. She was there only because she had a two-day job. So I spent most of that day just assuming that she was fine, but that, like me, she was mourning for her city. So I just want to say that when these sudden, totally unexpected acts of violence take loved ones away from us, it's shocking, and I just I'm hoping that the incredible spirit that Boston has had in the wake of this tragedy can continue, and that we can make some sense out of this.
Well, I hope we can tackle that that extremely difficult task tonight, Terry. Maybe as we start, you could tell us a bit about your sister, Laura, who you lost on 9/11, and how you came to be involved with the group September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows, which is an incredible organization. We've been talking with the members for many years on this program, and their response to terrorist acts and violence at 9/11 and others in this country and around the world is incredible. It's courageous beyond words, and you're a part of that. And I'm wondering, first talk to us a little bit about your sister, Laura, and then how you got involved with 9/11 Families for Peaceful Tomorrows.
Right. Laura was an actress and a singer, and she just loved living in New York, and it was the place that she wanted to be. But like a lot of people who make a living in the arts, she also had a day job, and so she fairly often worked for a company that produced seminars on information technology. And on September 11th, she was there for the first day of a two-day job, helping to produce a day-long presentation on information technology, and you know, that was the day the planes hit. And you know, as I said before, I really thought that she couldn't possibly be there, or I had no notion that could be happening. My response to her murder was that I thought it was really possible to take steps to break the cycle of violence. You mentioned that I'm a documentary filmmaker. I had worked on the public television series Eyes on the Prize, which of course celebrated the incredible successes of the nonviolent civil rights movement. And I was fortunate to know something about the philosophy of nonviolence, and I think that at moments like this, you become incredibly damaged. You know, you hurt, you have anger, but you can choose what you do with your anger. And as soon as I learned about the people who had founded Peaceful Tomorrows, as we call that's our nickname for the organization, Peaceful Tomorrows took its name from something that Dr. King said. He said, "Wars are poor chisels for carving out peaceful tomorrows." And we were really inspired by the idea that you can break the cycles of violence, that even if you have anger, you don't seek revenge, you don't act violently in response to violence, you think about the alternatives. And for me, you know, my hope had been that there would be a very legal response to 9/11 and that America would show the world the brilliance of our Constitution and the brilliance of our legal system. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but working with other members of Peaceful Tomorrows has taken me on a really interesting journey.
Indeed. Thank you so much for describing your initial contact with the group September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. With the recent bombings of the Boston Marathon in your hometown last week that killed 3 people and injured almost 200, some of the maimed incredibly seriously, you must have felt a wave of emotions, as you mentioned before, recalling your own personal horror that you experienced during 9/11. You want to tell our listener just a bit about the ways in which this tragic episode of violence in Boston affected you and many of your neighbors, too.
Well, it was, you know, I mean, when I first learned about the bombing, I was heartbroken. I think as events evolved over the course of the week, it's been really, truly something that perhaps has never happened in history before. I mean, you know, the evidence of the alleged perpetrators was produced terribly quickly, and then, of course, we had the experience of, you know, waking up on Thursday morning to find out there had been a violent car chase and shooting, and that one of the suspects was dead, but the other one was still on the loose, and the notion to shelter in place, it was a new phrase, you know. But I have to say, you know, I'm just tremendously grateful for intelligent and swift police action. And I'm also very grateful that the remaining suspect who was captured after the day-long sheltering in place, you know, is now going to be, you know, charged as in federal court, and that there will be a trial that, you know, is not trying him as a foreign terrorist or an enemy combatant. In some ways, things happened so quickly in response to the marathon bombings, where we still don't have a proper legal response to the 9/11 attacks, which is a frustration on my part. But it felt very difficult to be living in a city. I mean, I grew up in New York, but I moved to Boston as a young adult, and I've lived here. I mean, moved to the Boston area, lived here for most of my life. When New York was attacked on 9/11, I felt like my city was being attacked. When Boston was attacked just a week ago today, it was like having, you know, yet another very personal attack. But I'm so grateful by the strength of the Boston community and how they've responded. And I hope that the ways in which the community came together can lead us into a very serious discussion about how we do break these cycles of violence.
Thanks, Terry. The group you're involved with, September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrow's mission is to promote a nonviolent response to terrorism. That's an incredibly difficult task with so much fear and hate engendered by terrorist attacks and violence. I'm wondering, as you look at this bombing incident in Boston, how do you hope the response is different than what we all experienced as a nation and pretty much the world after the 9/11 attacks? Of course, the scale's different, but we've hopefully learned some things since 9/11. And what do you hope for?
Well, let me start by saying I am not an expert on you know, all the options we have, but I do have some very heartfelt hopes. I had truly, you know, as the evidence unfolded about who the suspects in the bombing on the, at the marathon are, and as we are learning more and more about the role that radical Islam may have played in these two brothers' motivations, and, you know, let me also say that I truly believe that people are innocent until found guilty. But because of 9/11 and because of the history that we've lived through in the years since 9/11, I think we need, as individuals, as a nation, and as a world community, to really try to understand how we can establish a dialogue with radical Islam. I mean, and I can't tell you, Scott, that I have thought about, well, tomorrow I'd like to do this, or, you know, in 6 months we should create, you know, this kind of institution. But, you know, I am not I truly believe that radical Islam and that Muslims who carry out terrorist acts are not expressing the truth and the wisdom of their religion. On the other hand, I do believe that they are people who have an agenda. And just as one had to establish a dialogue with the terrorists in Northern Ireland, one had to establish a dialogue. I mean, the ways in which you break these cycles of violence is by actually inviting people to participate in some communal discussion, diplomacy, political systems. And I hope this makes us think very hard about how to do that.
Terry, I'm curious about your response to the discussion we've had in our media since the Boston Marathon bombings, including a comment by New York State Representative Peter King, who recently said, quote, "It's time to stop being so politically correct and recognize the real threat to the United States comes from Islamic terrorism, which means law enforcement must put a heightened focus on Muslim communities." He favors profiling Muslims in general, the entire Muslim community, for surveillance. How do you respond to these predictable and certainly historic at this point reactions to terrorist acts?
Well, first of all, I respectfully disagree with Peter King. I don't believe that you categorically label everyone who's a color or a religion or a gender or, you know, profiling is not the issue. I mean, I think that kind of response is exactly the way in which you heighten the resentment of people who are likely to become terrorists. And that's why, although I can't give you the pieces and the ingredients of every step that we might take, but I think actually establishing dialogue with people who I certainly fundamentally disagree with. I am truly, you know, committed to nonviolence. But that doesn't mean I'm committed to, you know, rolling over and not opposing people. I just think we have to find the space and the forum in which to debate and negotiate. And ultimately, you know, where we've seen countries and conflicts that have been violent for years, what happens is that, you know, when people become engaged in a common political process, then you see the violence being reduced. You know, I'm I'm in awe. I'm inspired by the work of Ma Red McGuire, who had her sister and three of her nieces and nephews assassinated in Northern Ireland in a bomb. And she went out and started to, you know, create spaces for people to be safe, to be in the same place together, and often to yell at each other for hours. But, you know, she won the Nobel Peace Prize. I would love to be working with someone who could figure out how to create. Now we have a global community, but we need to be finding ways to put people together and to work out their differences.
Well said, Terry. It's, certainly we know that the one-dimensional approach to meeting violence with violence does not work. There's got to be some more creative solutions to the world's problems with terrorism. And I'm sure many of our listeners agree with that. What that is, I think we have a lot of work to do. As you said, the answers aren't easy. I'll just remind our listeners, we're speaking tonight here on Counterpoint with Terry K. Rockefeller, a documentary filmmaker who joined the group September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows soon after her sister died in the 9/11 terrorist attacks in the World Trade Center back in 2001. Terry lives in Arlington, Massachusetts, very close to Boston, and experienced the horror of this latest bombing attack in the Marathon firsthand. Terry, there's often, in the aftermath of these terrorist acts, there's often a call for a security crackdown. And many people in places like Boston or New York or wherever a terrorist act occurs welcome security and are very willing to sacrifice liberties and jettison whole parts of the U.S. Constitution in order to get that security. Ben Franklin, one of our founding fathers, dismissed that notion as people who would sacrifice liberty for security deserve neither. But I'm wondering, how do you balance in your own mind, given your own personal tragic experience with terrorism? How do you balance things out with security and liberty?
First of all, you know, I don't believe we can ever be 100% secure, but I believe we can be smart, and I believe we can be proud of what we stand for. My basic response to most of the acts that have limited, you know, constrained our Constitution or made compromises over what I think is strict adherence to the rule of law, I'm sad about. I mean, I'm particularly, I guess, as I try to answer your question, Scott, what I'm really thinking about is the legal response to 9/11, and I'm very frustrated that so many years later we still don't have a real trial that adheres to our Constitution for the people that have been accused of actually carrying, you know, actually plotting the 9/11 attacks. I think we would be more secure if we showed the world that we stood behind the principles we espouse. I'm truly heartbroken that there is very clear evidence that people have been tortured. I don't believe that has made us more secure. I'm concerned that American public opinion seems to have now been willing to compromise. I mean, that American people have said, you know, maybe if it makes us safer, it's okay to torture people. I just don't believe that. I believe that in the long run, the security of not only Americans, but the security of people around the world will be enhanced if we follow the rule of law. So I try to speak out for that wherever I can. I try to motivate people to think about those issues. I've spent a lot of time trying to educate myself. It's clear to me that people who are professionals in the world of you know, thinking about how you interrogate terrorists don't believe that torture is productive, and are frustrated by the compromises that some of our leaders were willing to make. So, you know, I actually believe in the long run, you don't have to make. I believe in the long run, if we didn't compromise on our principles, we would in fact be more secure, and that's what I've tried to commit myself to.
Well, Tara, we only have about a minute or two left, but maybe you can just give us a quick rundown of some, you know, exciting news and things that have been going on regarding the Iraqi Civil Society Solidarity Initiative, and talk now about, and this preceded, as we talked earlier tonight, it preceded the Boston Marathon bombing, but there was a plan in the works long ago for have a Baghdad marathon run to demonstrate that a city like Baghdad that experiences all kinds of violence and daily bombings and terrorist attacks can be a safe place if people work together. But maybe say a word about that, and then certainly give our listeners the web address where they can find more information on September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows.
Sure. So as many of your listeners, you know, might have guessed, Peaceful Tomorrows was very opposed to the war in Iraq. And I actually traveled to Iraq. I visited Baghdad and Basra back in 2003, just before the American troops had invaded. And out of that initial connection with Iraqi civil society, through a long story that I can't share right now, I became involved with a project that started in 2009 called the Iraqi Civil Society Solidarity Initiative, ICSSI. And if you Google Iraqi Civil Society Solidarity, you will find our website in English. And we have been working to support women's rights, to support human rights, to support free and fair elections inside of Iraq, and also just to support the notion that Iraq should be returned to its citizens and that they should have the freedom to move about the streets. And the vision and the idea of having an international marathon in Baghdad was something we started working on back in 2009. We have had a marathon, actually two marathons already in Erbil, which is in the Kurdish part of Iraq, which is much more stable and settled right now. Last autumn, in 2012, we actually had a 2K race in Basra, which is in the far south of Iraq. And the hope is that within a year, we will have an international marathon in Baghdad. I have to say, when the bombs went off in Boston, I thought, oh no, we'll never have a marathon in Baghdad. But within 24 hours, I had probably gotten two or three dozen emails from people in Iraq who know me, who now for the first time in the world, in their life, you know, actually remembered, oh, Terry lives in Baghdad, in Boston. And what they wrote in their emails was, this is why we have to have a marathon in Baghdad. Not only to prove that Baghdad is safe for a marathon, but to prove that Boston will be safe for a marathon again. So I just say that this is the kind of work that I feel incredibly privileged and honored to be able to do that grew out of the tragedy of 9/11. And this notion of breaking the cycles of violence can be, you know, every time there is yet another cause for, you know, pain and unhappiness, I get reminded that there are people that I'm connected to who can change this world.
Well, thanks, Terry. It's been inspiring to talk with you, and makes me more optimistic about our world, which can get pretty gloomy sometimes.
And I would just say to your listeners, www.peacefultomorrows.org is September 11th Family for Peaceful Tomorrow's website. But please also look at the Iraqi Civil Society Solidarity Initiative. Just Google it. It'll show up.
Peacefultomorrows.org. Thank you so much, Terry. I look forward to staying in touch with you.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you to all your listeners who've tuned in tonight. I do hope that, I more than hope, I am confident that we will come through the past week's tragedies with new ideas, and I'm looking forward to working with anyone who's also interested in breaking the cycles of violence.
I'm sure with your activism and hard work on this, we'll get there sooner. Thanks, Terry.
Okay, good night, Scott.
Good night. That was Terry K. Rockefeller. She is a documentary filmmaker, part of the group September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. Her sister died in the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center, and she lives in Boston. We were talking with her about the recent bomb attacks there.